felt sweet breezes brighten my northern sky.
Good morning, everybody. It's WMFO Medford. It's 9 a.m. on the dot, and very humid Saturday, August 26th, and welcome to it. Thanks so much for tuning in. Got a great 2 hours for you today. As usual, got a bunch of freeform and got a bunch of new noise, and we've got some guests all the way from New York, New Jersey metro area. Great band that we play all the time here called The Sins, C-Y-N-Z. Excited that Cindy and Henry are going to be here. Actually, they're here. They're being brought up the stairs right now by Bootleg Dan, who's also here. So, yeah, it's going to be good. 9:30 a.m. we'll start talking to those folks. And we'll also get a rundown, too, sometime in the second hour of the show from Dan about all of the shows that he's booking around here and around New York and Rhode Island, other places that he books, all kinds of great shows. So we'll hear from Dan as well. All right, so at 9:01, let me tell you what I got for the new noise today. I got some great stuff, brand new from Kurt Baker. I got something from him, Guided by Voices. I have a brand new track as well. Christian Montgomery and the Winter Kill Band, something new from them as well. Very excited about that. Our own Little Billy Lost has something new from New Noise. Bad Marriage, Boston's Own, has something new as well. And the first one that I get to start off with today is from New England's own band called The Elevators. And they're just such a great sounding band, a great vibe. And this one is called Gimme Love. It's from their latest called Endless Summer. And that's going to be our first new noise of the day right here at WMFO Medford.
my favorite stupid song. I'ma turn you up on it all night long. Give me love, only if you mean it. Nobody ever really wanna tell you what they feeling. You the baddest and I know for sure. I'ma lock you down if you won't stick around. Like, oh, nah, oh, nah.
So I need to do it.
Yeah.
This is more like it.
You're listening to WMFO Medford.
All right, so it's WMFO in Medford. Good morning, everybody. 9:23 right here at WMFO Medford. And I'm Mike. I have been here since 9. I will be here until 11 when Something About the Women comes in. And I'm looking at a picture being taken at the same time. Ah, live radio, you know. All right, so we got through the first set of the day. Let me tell you what I played. I started off with New England's own band called The Elevators. Such a nice vibe to hear them in the morning. 2023's Endless Summer is their latest record. That was Gimme Love. 10 years after, classic, From a Space and Time, from a long time ago, I'd Love to Change the World. The Catherine Wheel had the third song of the set. In 1992, they put out a record called Ferment. That was Black Metallic. Dave Mason, oh yeah, from 1973's collection came out called Super Hits. That was Baby, Please. And of course, rounded out the five-song set with the Yardbirds from 1965. A record called Having a Rave Up with the Yardbirds. Sounds like fun. Train kept a rolling. All right, so I'm going to give you a little sneak preview of what's going on. I told you we had some guests, and they're here. We're really not going to hear from them until 9:30 or so, but I'm just going to put these mics up, and you know, maybe Cindy and Henry, you could say hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All you rockers.
Good morning. Morning voice.
Yeah, right. But all the way from, like, you know, New York, New Jersey, Metro, driving through the rain yesterday to do a rock and roll show, and you're here this morning in the morning with us.
Yeah. We came in Thursday night because we didn't want to have to worry about the rain and the traffic on Friday.
Smart.
But then we drank coffee the whole ride, so nobody could sleep Thursday night.
Didn't think of that, did you? Or you didn't care?
No, we didn't care.
All right, so we'll talk to you guys in just a few. I'm going to play a couple of songs to get us just past the bottom of the hour. And I'm going to start with Boston's own Bad Marriage. A new track from them called Tear It Down. Yeah, it's new noise. And something pretty new from a band that played last night with you guys called Little Billy Lost. I'm going to play Whiskey Point. So let me start with Tear It Down for Bad Marriage. It's new noise right here at WMFO.
We'll be right back.
It's WMFO in Medford. Good morning, everybody. 9:33 in the morning. I'm Mike. Been here since 9. We'll be here till 11. And something about the women will be coming in at 11 a.m. today with Jane. So stick around for that. I mean, DJ Jane, you know, you gotta be here when she's here. Something about the women, been running since 1973. All artists are women. It can be any genre, and all the DJs are women too. So stick around 11 a.m. for something about the women. All right, let me tell you what I played in that last set, and we'll say hi again to Henry and Cindy from the Sins. Say hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. See, it's this early in the morning. They'll do anything I say. Mm-hmm. Well, almost anything.
That's right.
Well, almost, yeah. All right, so let's just talk about those last two songs we played, because they are both Boston bands, and it makes me so happy when people are in the studio and they're into what's being played.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, you hear stuff like that, Bad Marriage, for God's sakes, from their latest EP called Artificial Mind, Tear It Down was that one. What a fantastic band, and, you know, just hard rocking in the morning, what else do you want? And Little Billy Lost, you know, one of the bands that played last night at the Barn along with you guys. That was one of their latest singles called Whiskey Point. And boy, do we love them.
We do.
We do.
Yeah, they rock. I saw them for the first time last night. I love them.
They blew me away.
Yeah, they're pros.
Yeah, every single song that they did, I was dancing.
Yeah.
I didn't stop.
Nope. I mean, it was great. So, all right, so welcome to you guys.
Thank you.
Sort of said hi before, but
thank you.
And I won't belabor this, but back in March, we sort of, this has given me inspiration to know that we do get second chances, because, you know, something happened that never happened. I had to cancel because I wasn't feeling well.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, and I said to you guys, you know, I'll come in, I mean, but, you know, I've got one of those hanger-on colds, and I could be contagious, and right away you're like, no.
Yeah, we didn't want to get infected.
Yeah, so we didn't do it, and we said, yeah, we'll definitely do it again, and you never know. But here you are again, coming through Boston, because we love you here.
We're back.
And we're so glad you're here.
Thank you.
So I want to talk to you guys a little bit, just as we start out, to sort of let the audience understand who you are, where you came from, how you got to this place. So let me just talk a little bit about who you are. East Brunswick, New Jersey.
I'm not from East Brunswick. I live there. Henry lives in Perth Amboy.
But there was a lot of stuff in the past that happened there in clubs. You know, in that area?
In that area, yeah. And I worked in some of them.
So yeah?
I know the inside scoop on some of the things that happened in those clubs.
Yeah, so this is not your band, your first band, Cindy. So since 17 years old.
Yeah, I've actually had, I've had one other, like, you know, pop band type of thing when I was 17. Well, we were 17 and we had big management and we were... Before the Spice Girls, but we had themes. Like, I was Aphrodite, somebody was Nefertiti, and it was called Kamikaze Kitty and the Attack Cats.
Right. Yeah.
And we had major management, and we had major musicians that were going to be backing us up. And what happened was, we were so young, and one of the girls that was in the band was from the South, and she hated New York. She just couldn't handle the whole New York thing. And she wanted to go back to the South with her boyfriend, who was also in a very well-known band. And they did end up going back to the South. And I just recently heard that they're married with children and everything. So they both gave up music. But she was essential to the band. Like, you couldn't replace what she did.
And that was the end of Kamikaze Kitty.
And then I was in bands as a poet.
All good things come to an end.
Yeah, I was in bands after that, but as a poet, not as a singer.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I learned that you weren't in bands, but you were doing spoken word.
I was doing what we call word rocking, and I always had a backing band. So the word rocking thing was kind of like what I'm doing now, but speaking instead of singing.
Yeah, I mean, you had like a full instrumentation behind you.
Mm-hmm.
So it reminds me of like a, in my mind, like a speakeasy maybe, and there'd be like, you know,
kind
people
of
snapping
Smith-y.
Fingers.
Very Patti Smith-y, and because it was rock and roll. It was very like Jim Carroll, Patti Smith, all those poets that did stuff with the band. Although Patty later was singing, Jim Carroll never really sang.
Right.
He attempted to sound like he was singing, but he really, I think like me, you know, we're rock and roll singers, we're not singers. And so one of the things I started doing was sort of like speaking singing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Henry kind of pushed me towards the more like full-on singing.
Singing.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you guys were in bands at the same time, you know. And I guess, Henry, you just sort of were playing in a band called Louie Louie and the Lost Hombres.
Yeah, that was a band. And I was in a band called the Stilettos, and then another band called the Vacations, and then a bunch of local things, you know. And
the Blue Zombies. It was terrific.
The Blue Zombies,
great
yeah.
name. You guys played in a lot of the same clubs back then. You know, Patrick's, Patrix.
I knew Henry when I was 15 because I used to sneak out of my house. There was a bar that was just maybe like a 10-minute walk from my house, and they had bands.
Yeah, so what age are we talking about?
I was 15, but okay. I would take my sister's license. And in those days, nobody cared. They'd let you in. They really didn't care.
And the drinking age, we should have a...
was 18.
Was 18 at the time.
Yeah, I put on like my sister's makeup and steal in the middle of the night, steal her license and sneak down to the club. And I would get home in time that nobody knew that I had ever been gone and go to school in the morning.
Wow.
But Henry's band played there, and that's when we first met. I was 15. You were in your 20s. And
it's like a sitcom plot.
Yeah, he thought I was just like... They used to call me the kid. Because I was like, everybody was like my big brother and sister.
So tell me, you're leading right into what I wanted to do. So tell me a little bit about your childhood. Did you grow up in a home that was filled with music?
No.
No?
No. We could skip my childhood, but it wasn't the happiest situation. But my mother, you know, she was a single mother, and she supported all the arts that I wanted to do. I was very artsy. I wanted to dance. She managed to figure out...
Poetry.
I was in school, my teachers begged my mother to encourage my writing because I could always write. Writing came very easy to me. Hmm. And so my mother found ways to support all the different things that I wanted to do. And
that's good. That's great.
She was very encouraging, but nobody in my family is artsy.
All right. So you were the, not black sheep, but you were the one that wasn't like all the others Sesame Street.
I said to my mother when I was 7 years old, I said, I think I want to be a movie star. And she laughed. And I said, I'm not joking.
Uh-huh.
And so she said, okay, well, have a childhood. And then when you grow up, we'll revisit this. And if you still want to do it, I'll help you. And she did. I went to acting school in New York, and she paid for it somehow.
See, that's great. That's
I didn't great. Ask. How she paid for it, but she did.
All right, so you're sneaking out, you're going to see bands and clubs, and so when did you start to realize that you wanted to be a part of that, not just as a spectator?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a part of that, but I couldn't sing. So when my friend Lauren asked me to do Kamikaze Kitty and the Attack Cats as a percussionist, because I was always really good with like rhythm. I was a dancer, so rhythm is my thing. I can respond to a beat and this and that.
So maracas.
I had all these kind of like tabulas and bells and all these really weird percussion things, and we were schooled by some really cool musicians in New York, and so I was really good that way. I could choreograph because we were very Spice Girls before the Spice Girls. So I was like the choreographer. I would do percussion. I could do background, like chanting, but I didn't sing.
So that was your thing in Kamikaze Kitty, right?
Yeah.
Where you were just filling out the sound.
I was filling out the sound.
And the vibe.
And the dance moves.
Yeah. Cool. So do you remember the first time you decided to start singing, it was at the behest of your partner.
Oh,
here.
My God. I still hate him for making me do this.
She didn't know I was listening, and she was singing something. I think it may have been off of, I think it was like a New York Dolls song. I can't remember which one, but
Trash.
And she's singing. I'm listening to her sing. I'm not saying anything, but it's like, you know, if she could sing that, she could do anything.
And Cindy, you were just dead set against it.
Oh yeah, I'm still dead set against it 5 albums later.
Come on now.
I swear, every time I go into the recording studio, I feel like I'm going to be electrocuted. Like, they're going to find out that I am a fraud. But
no.
I can't think of anything I've ever loved doing more in my life.
Well, you know, I'll just say, I saw you perform for the first time last night. I mean, well, I saw you on video from Ankle and Dan here. But it's not the same. You know, I was looking forward to it because it's always interesting to see somebody when they do what they love.
Yeah.
You know, so I saw you You know, I really saw you.
I saw you too, Mike.
Yeah, I really saw you last night. I mean, I saw who you are, and I know why you do this. You can say as much as you want that, oh, I'm not a... Yes, you are. This is what you love to do, and you should
Thank
be doing
you.
This.
Thank you.
Honestly.
14 years later, I still am.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that energy between an audience and a performer on stage. There's just something that happens that is the highest of highs, that you get off that stage and you're just so, like, you're in a different state of being. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, I mean, you were smiling ear to ear, and you could tell you just loved doing that.
I do.
Yeah.
But the befores, before I go on stage, I am like completely, I'm telling myself right up until a step that I have to walk up, why am I doing this? But once I hit that stage, I'm in a different world. It's like I am submerged into some other way of being and living.
Honest to God, I understand that. I mean, I do. I mean, and I will say that if you weren't feeling nervous and trying to talk yourself into it, then something's wrong. I mean, you should be.
You
should
mean
have
it's
that.
Normal?
Yeah, you should. Yes, you are normal. Oh, be careful! The kids break chairs and yeah, but it is, and you know you're exactly where you should be, honestly.
Thank you very much.
All right, so not to move away from Cindy, but to move away over to Henry. Let's talk about your. I mean, I you've known each other forever.
Oh yeah.
You know, so tell me a little bit about your family life, how you grew up. Was the guitar the first instrument you picked up?
No, the first instrument I picked up was the clarinet.
Oh.
I used to play clarinet, and that was when I was a kid. But when I learned about what the Beatles were, and I saw them, I that's what I wanted to do. That became like the shining star that I wanted to kind of sail my rocket ship to.
You won't be surprised to know that, you know, that night in 1964 is mentioned every single time.
That's what did it for me. And so the thing of it was, though, like I have a younger brother, and he would always get these musical instruments from them. Like one time he got this sort of this trumpet that it was made out of plastic, but it actually functioned, like it had like valves on it and everything. So he would fool around with it for 10 minutes and then he'd throw it away. And then I would pick it up and learn how to play some crazy song on it. And so he got guitars that way. He got, you know, this. And so, yeah, it was the same thing with guitar. He played it for about a week and then didn't want it anymore. And then I picked it up. Mm-hmm. And I would get my record player and put on like a Steppenwolf record or something and just try to figure it out. I didn't even know really how to tune it up. I just kind of tuned it so that it sounded good with an open chord.
Yeah.
And then I would just plop my finger across all the frets and that would make a chord and I just went up and down the neck like
that. So you're self-taught pretty much.
Yeah, I was. I didn't really know how to properly tune a guitar until I was like halfway through like my very first band. When I went to school between classes, to call attention to myself, I would play a harmonica in the hallways. And these guys said, hey, you play pretty good. You want to join a band? And I said, blankety blank,
that's
yeah.
That's what I want.
I'll join a band.
See, and both of you are telling me and us that you're born performers, you know, no matter what you say. I mean, you always wanted to do that. You did say that, actually.
I always wanted to be a performer. He initially joined a band to get the girls.
Yeah. I wanted to get the girls.
Does that make sense to you?
I wanted the girls to like me.
There you go.
Yeah,
and it worked. So your home life, besides your brother, was there music playing all the time, or your parents?
No, my mother like had one of these little Magnus organs. It was like if you had to be there. It was like about maybe 18 inches long from key to key, and it has a bunch of buttons on it, and it came with a songbook, and she would sit and play these songs, and I would say, wow, that sounds really good.
Hmm.
But she wasn't playing like Beatles or anything like that, so that's where my interest sort of ended. But I had like one of those little transistor radios that you held to your head.
Oh yeah.
And I would listen to Cousin Bruce on WABC 77 WABC.
Here we go, and there's the performance, everybody. Yeah, that was nice. But all right. So who do you remember? Like I can remember, you know, the first. Major artists that I liked when I grew up in the 70s.
Oh,
it was Elton John for me.
Yeah, for me it was The Ventures.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Walk, Don't Run. Let's Go. Let's Go. So I learned all those riffs.
And Cindy, what about you? Even though you were a spoken word artist, music, what was the what's the first memory you have of, like, yeah?
Oh, my! I used to have a little show and tell record player where the little strip came up with the pictures. You know, mm-hmm. it was a TV in the front and a little record player on top. And I had my very first 45 was the Association's Windy, which I always pretended that they were singing Cindy. So that's why I remember that vividly.
Everyone knows
but
it's
I
Cindy.
Was one of the, I had an older sister, 8 years older than me, who was the coolest, like, hippie in the world. And she had the best music, but I didn't know that then. And I was into, like, David Cassidy and the Jackson 5. And I mean, I was like 7, you know?
Yeah.
So I had all the pinups on my wall, and she was so humiliated by my choices that one day she had ripped all my pinups off the wall, and she said, this is what you're going to listen to. And she literally made me listen to Tommy the Who, T-Rex. She gave me Genya Raven's 10-Wheel Drive album and said, you got to listen to this. And she also told me the whole story about Tommy the Who, like what happened to Tommy. And in my first grade class, I brought that album as my show and tell and told the story. And the teacher called my mother in and said, this was very inappropriate for show and tell.
Yeah.
But my introduction to some of the best music, I'm so grateful to my sister for turning me onto it.
I was going to say, she did a good thing for you.
She really did. And yeah. She always had, like, the best music playing in her room. Always.
All right. So let's fast forward to The Sins, and I'm probably like most other people. When I hear the name of the band, I think, oh, The Sins, S-I-N-S, what a cool name. You know, it's rock and roll and whatever, but then I looked at how you spelled it, and I always point out it's C-Y-N-Z.
Yeah.
And so I know that the Z has something to do with your last name.
Yeah.
How is that pronounced?
My last name is Size, with a Z on the end.
S-I-E-Z.
S-E-I-Z.
Okay, S-E-I-Z. So that's the Z.
So that's the Z.
And then
the
obviously...
Sin is Cindy.
The C-Y-N is Cindy, because I spell my name like Cindy Lauper.
Yeah.
But when we tell most people that our name is The Sins, they'll think of, like, the bad things that you do, you know? The sins.
Which is appropriate, too.
Which is appropriate, too.
Yeah.
It works.
Autobiographical,
what's
kind
that,
of.
It's a homonym?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Sort of.
A synonym? No, a homonym.
Well, we sat in a bar one night trying to come up with band names.
Oh, yeah.
And the more drinks we had, the funnier they got. I can't even tell you some of those names.
Yeah, the dirtier they got.
We're not allowed to say those things on radio, but we wrote them on napkins, and I wish we had saved them.
Yeah, I wish we did, too. Yeah.
But we did come up with The Sins while under the influence of several cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was dirty martinis.
Yes, it was dirty martinis.
Very good. Well, that's definitely going to help in that. So The Sins, you formed in like 2010, 2011-ish?
2011. Yeah,
2011. And the band has been called the closest thing to the 1970s CBGBs you'll get from a band that was formed like around 2011.
We did not write that.
No,
that
you
was
didn't.
Actually a review that somebody had written for us. And I think that we were really, really sort of punk in the beginning. We kind of were a little harder edge.
That wasn't really a conscious decision.
Yeah.
Though. I think that was kind of a label we just sort of got hung with.
But we were a little, well, we're still kind of like hard rocking, but as I've learned, you know, to use my voice, we've started to do some, like, more intricate harmonies and... rather than me just, like, screaming out my rage and being very punk, which is what I come from, that background. That's the music I really liked. And he had other influences. So over the years, both of our influences have kind of meshed into this sort of new sound that's still our sound, but it's some of it's gotten a little pretty.
Yeah, I mean, and I will say that I love covers. A good cover, because it's the best thing. It's about a song that you're already, like, in love with, and you get to hear somebody else who's in love with the song, because they wouldn't do it if they didn't, and they take it and they give it something new, you know. And you do a couple of covers that we'll play a little bit today, but you mentioned influences, and I want to talk about those, because it's so interesting to talk about and then hear your influences and then play your stuff, because you can hear it in there.
Yeah.
And you the ones you picked are very demonstrative of who you are. I mean, it's really cool. So let's start with Cindy, ladies first. I asked you guys for some influences, and you picked a couple of bands, Cindy. One was the Distillers, and the other is Garbage. And let's take them one by one before we play them. The okay. Distillers, it's a song called Drain the Blood.
Yes.
Yes. Talk about that one.
Oh, the video is so cool. She's just, like, amazing. She's so cool. She's just cool. I remember seeing the video of Drain the
Blood. Tell everybody what her name is.
I can't think right now.
Henry, it's 9:53 in the morning on a Saturday.
It's 9:53 in the morning. And I've actually seen her live so many times.
Brody
Dowell. Okay. Thank you. I just had like a brain, you know what?
Yep.
So, see, I was so good. I just said, I blanked myself.
I know.
You censored yourself.
But yeah. I remember stumbling on Drain the Blood, and I watched that video with my mouth hanging open. I'm like, she's the coolest chick I've ever seen.
And when was this? What time period?
Oh, man, this is like when it first came out. That must have been, what, 2009, 2008? I don't even know.
It says 2003 on here.
Three? Okay, well, I didn't discover it till like 2008 or 2009. And I just remember like thinking that is the epitome of a cool rock chick. Like, just her voice was low like mine, and the way she dressed and just her whole attitude was just everything I loved about female front women.
So 2009, here's another interesting juxtaposition. That's just before you guys formed.
Yeah.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
So you were already thinking, oh, yeah, that's what I...
That's
well,
cool
no, what happened was, I had a child back in 1996.
Yeah.
And so my life was put on hold. Like, I was an actress, so I actually had a pretty good career going on. But when I had my daughter, it was been impossible to continue, because you can get a call, like, say, on a Tuesday night, let's say, listen, we need you 5 a.m. on set tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that, 9 o'clock at night, they call you. And I knew I couldn't live that lifestyle with a child. And I didn't have any family support, so I knew that there was nobody that I could trust to watch a baby.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, yeah.
And so when she was 12, I stayed home for 12 years. I worked part-time, but I stayed home for 12 years basically raising her. And when she was 12, I said, I got to get back to like my arts, you know. And that's when I started doing the poetry with the band. But that I've always listened to music. I love to discover something I didn't hear before.
It's the best.
It's the best.
All right, so the Distillers is the first one we'll play, Drain the Blood, and a band that just everybody loves.
Yeah.
You know, Garbage.
Garbage.
First of all, yeah, what a great band name.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is. And you picked Sex Is Not the Enemy.
That's one of my favorite songs that they do.
Yeah.
It's Shirley Manson is a spitfire. So, like Brody, she's another one that commands the stage. When she's on that stage, your eyes are on her. You know, she has a band, and no offense to the band, because they're a great band, but you cannot take your eyes off her. She's just comes out, and she is ready to... Can I say the ASS word? But she's ready to kick
sure.
it. She kicks ass.
You have my permission.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that was awesome. So, all right, well, let's spin those two tracks. And dear listeners out there, you know, really, really listen to this and understand that this is... These represent Cindy's influences that she picked when asked to do so. And we're going to hear their music afterwards. And it's very interesting to hear how they correlate. So let's start with this. Drain the Blood by the Distillers right here at WMFO in Medford.
I'm living on shattered faith. Kind of likes to restrict your breath. Never been a better time than this. Suffocating.
Frostbit evidence. All my friends are murdered. Hey, all my bones, no marrows in. so here we go.